To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside.
I'm beginning to worry Cruella and Ursula were right. You've spent so much time around heroes, you've forgotten who you really are.
I'd be careful questioning my commitment.
You want to prove to me you're the evil queen I remember. Go inside there now and steal that little boy.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is The Worst. We also talk about ABC's hit series, Once Upon a Time. How are you doing, Anne-Marie?
Good. How are you? Sorry.
Great. No, I'm excited. We had a fun little dance there.
We did.
I was trying to
work out this thing in my back. I'm like,
if you're listening to the audio version, you didn't get to see our wonderful little dance because you weren't watching live Monday nights at 8:30 p.m.
EST
at youtube.universebox.com, where we stream on video, and there's a big active chat room.
Yes.
Every week, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of comments put in there every week.
This is true.
Absolutely love it.
Love.
And, what we do every Monday night at 8:30 p.m. EST at youtube.universebox.com is talk about Once Upon a Time, which I guess we should probably go ahead and start doing. So, Anne-Marie, you want to go ahead and start us off with the rhyming episode summary, please?
All right, let's see how we do here. Regina is rolling 3 deep with the queens. They drink magic juice while acting like teens. Agent Mal's back in town, and she has a fedora. A different look than when she fought with Aurora. Regina was there then, didn't we mention? She stopped by to appease Mal's drugged apprehension. Rump hooks his dagger. Pinocchio's ripe for bagging. Regina acts bad in Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon.
Always.
Yes, with the music. Enter the Dragon.
I keep getting Cisco in my head. I'm like, make it go away.
And as we mentioned last week, Cisco in, what was the name of the Cisco song? He was referencing the Bruce Lee movie,
Unleash the Dragon.
Yeah, or the imagery of the Bruce Lee movie. Which,
maybe it's better than the thong song getting stuck in my head.
They should name an episode of Once Upon a Time the thong song. So what did you think overall of the episode, Anne-Marie, before we get started our main discussion?
It was a really good episode. I like, as I know we've mentioned, our fans have mentioned, it's once again.
Mm-hmm.
We're done.
Very oncey.
It's very oncey. It has its own mythos type thing. We're not, even with the, Spice Girls of Evil and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel gimmicky.
Yeah, and that group's almost filled out, too. Like, I think we almost have 5.
Well, yeah.
If they can talk Emma into it, I guess. We'll see, though.
Well, right now she's a little PO'd, so.
But the first member, and I guess this is where we'll start our conversation, the first kind of newish member, but might be a fake out, who knows, is Regina.
Regina.
In this episode, Regina it becomes basically like a double agent and infiltrates the Spice Girls of Evil and everything. But at the same time, we're also starting to see her morality bend a little bit. It's the thing I took away from the entire episode with her. The line that struck me most was right there at the end in the conversation between her and Emma, right before when she was stealing Pinocchio, when she was stealing children.
When she was kidnapping, not stealing, kidnapping.
Yeah, so, sorry. I wouldn't want to cast any aspersions on Regina. She was kidnapping, not stealing the child.
She didn't look happy about it.
But she said, we have to take a page out of their playbook and break some rules, talking about the villains. Mm-hmm. She's like, we're the heroes, but in order to beat the bad guys, we have to be a little bad ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is very similar to something that we heard Snow kind of pontificating on in the flashback last week.
Mm-hmm.
When Mal or Maleficent came
Mal
to Snow
now.
And was like, hey, let's work together on this thing and, the curse and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Snow was like, no, we can't compromise because then we would be just as bad as you are. And this is kind of like the opposite side of that coin where she's being like, no, we have to compromise in order to win because we're good.
Well, and the thing is, like, the first half of that quote is they're taking a page out of our book and working together.
Uh-huh.
And so we need to take a page out of their book and break some rules.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that. But I mean, really, at the end of the day, it's really just like you know, doing bad things to good ends is really just like a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. It's probably going to make it worse in the long run.
Yeah. Two wrongs don't make a right.
And, you know, even if you were thinking that Regina was really hard-nosed, leaning into the side of the angels and everything, she leaves her phone behind because Emma was supposed to be tracking her on the GPS and everything, and she leaves her phone behind. Like, I really think this is a sign that Regina is probably going to be a little bit more Spice Girls of Evil than Charming's best friend for a little bit here.
I disagree.
Fair enough. I will let you respond in just a moment.
I know. I wanted to put my point out there.
Fair enough. I really think the Regina character, as we've seen since her and Henry started on the whole Operation Mongoose thing, the main thing she wants in life is to find the author so she can get her happy ending no matter what. And she thinks Emma – I kind of think she thinks Emma here won't let her do what she needs to in order to, you know, push forward and get that happy ending that she wants. Because Emma will try and make her do the right thing instead of the expedient thing. You know, so I think
I'm biting my tongue until you're done.
That's fair. I think Regina's already picked her side for the war that's about to hit Storybrooke that Rumple talks about in this episode. And since the villains and Regina have a common goal in wanting to find the author, mm-hmm. I think she wants to be there to guide them. Because at this point, you know, the Spice Girls of Evil with Rumple have a much higher likelihood of finding the author than her and Henry do. Because right now, Henry is just like looking with a magnifying glass at the book.
And a donut.
Yeah.
Always with an extra donut.
But so I think she wants to be with the winning side. I think, you know, her being there, even if she has to do questionable things to get the author exposed and get that whole ball rolling, that she'll definitely try and manipulate the situation in a way that the heroes won't completely lose completely, like, you know, the Spice Girls of Evil want them to. And, you know, maybe she'll even make them have a happy ending, too, if she's feeling nice about it. But go ahead.
Respond. Okay. So my response.
Okay.
Emma was causing the problems. Emma could have ruined the entire covert operation when she snuck into Geppetto's house.
This is very true.
How the... did Mal not see her walk in? It's a dirt road. There's one door. There's no sneaking in mm-hmm. the back. What is Mal doing? Like, is she checking her Facebook in the car that drives itself?
Maybe she didn't, since she knows that, you know, Emma's going to be key to their plan. Maybe she was like, okay.
Well, that was my other thing. I was like, well, maybe she saw her, but... Mm-hmm. Like, why did Mal let Regina go in on her own? Wouldn't she want to witness, like, how she, like, captured him and all that, too? Like, that entire thing sort mm-hmm. of drove me nuts. But the thing, I don't know, I really missed Mean Regina, and I liked having her back.
Yeah, because
that was nice.
It was the biggest glimpse we've got of Mean Regina since the Curse of Shattered Sight, when she went full Evil Queen mode.
Oh, that was beautiful. But that was so brief, and we knew it was fake. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I know that you said you think she's picked, like, the side of the villains, but still helping the heroes. I don't know. I don't know about all that.
Well, like, I probably would lean, like, okay, maybe she will, maybe she won't, or whatever. But it's just that, you know, because we were talking a little bit last week, too, about that conversation she had in the car with Rumple right before everything snowballed and he got kicked out of Storybrooke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel like she might not have been on board until she realized that Rumpelstiltskin was with them, because, you know, like it or not, they have a huge history there, and they also have a decent amount, even with all the manipulation and everything, they have a decent amount of trust in each other, and trust in each other's capabilities,
yeah,
you know, for sure. But something else pretty major happened this episode, didn't it, Anne-Marie?
Yes. Okay, first of all, we steal small child Pinocchio.
Kidnap.
Oh, I guess there's that. I didn't even write kidnap, but I said steal. Okay, so when they get to the cabin, were Cruella and Ursula just waiting outside to carry in the kid? Like, they didn't go in and get him mm-hmm. to say, hey, guys, we're here, come get the kid. Like, or why did they have to carry him? Because Emma carried him out to the car.
And they weren't even in the car. It was the magic driving car.
Yeah, it was the magic driving car with the red velour and fuzzy seating. Mm-hmm. So that drove me a little crazy. But how did Regina not guess that Rumple was the secret weapon?
Especially once they ended up at that cabin, because...
I think she, like, started to get a glimpse of going, mm-hmm. oh, this isn't going to be good. And then, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, anyone who saw season one, which I'm sure Regina did, knows that that's the cabin that Rumple took right. Belle's dad to beat him up and everything.
Well, she knew. She said, why are we in Gold's cabin? Mm-hmm. So that was a little weird. But so there we have poor little scared Pinocchio. And then all of a sudden, poor not so little scared August.
Yes.
So, yay, welcome back.
The beard is back.
The beard, but in all caps, bold, big, fuzzy, lit up letters. I hate that Rumble could have changed him back long ago and didn't.
Well, it didn't benefit him, too.
Yes, it, okay, it would have benefited him more than, you know, a few weeks ago. Like, they've been looking for the author for forever.
Yeah.
Or not forever. I know somebody's going to call me out on that. So like a year, roughly.
Well, they've been looking for the answers behind the book for pretty much the whole series. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
If he knew he could change the person who had the most control over the book in the past 30 some years. Meh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not the past 30 some years, because he thought that August was Neil all grown up, you know.
But he knew once he put all that together, August had the book for time.
Yeah.
Meh.
I
wanted him back earlier. Okay. That's what it's coming down to. I'm pissed that we just now got him back, but glad we got him back.
Well, I actually have some thoughts on that, too. All but right, I'll save fine. Until a little bit later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sure I've stepped on a bunch of my points. They all sort of intersected this week.
Oh, no, that's fine.
It's cool.
Okay. So something that Rumpelstiltskin says in this episode. Well, first of all, anything from the chat room? Anything interesting going on over there?
Hold on. I'm trying to stay out of the chat a little tonight, guys. Sorry. Poor Geppetto, all he wanted to do was see his son grow up. I was wondering how Rumple undid blue fairy magic. True dat. So is he stronger than blue? Maybe it's the magic of the dagger. Maybe it can rival blue fairy magic. I think we've established that blue really isn't most powerful. I disagree, other Anne-Marie. Amy P is on Team Anne-Marie. Whoop.
She's the most powerfully awesome fairy, that's for sure.
Heck yeah. Maybe the fairy he knows with the most part lines. Of the spell that turns him human can transform him back again. He wasn't looking for the author until he was banished from town. Okay. I think...
Okay,
so I think Anne-Marie has issues with this episode.
Possibly. Okay, so Rumple's starting a war. He's going to throw the first punch, right? I'm kind of wondering, is this really about the author, this whole he's planning on staging a battle, you know, pitting everyone against everyone else in Storybrooke.
Right.
Is it really about finding the author, or is this just something he's doing on the side here? Because, I mean, he's not even sure how the whole author situation is going to go down yet. He doesn't know who it is, what kind of powers they actually have versus what they don't, if they're going to retaliate, anything like that. But he's already planning for a war
right.
with the other citizens of Storybrooke. I think it's really more this whole war thing that he's setting up. Obviously, he's going after the author.
Mm-hmm.
He needs the Spice Girls of Evil to help and everything.
For some strange unknown reason.
But, you know, mounting them up to fight a war, I think it's really more about revenge for kicking him out of town than anything. He wants to hurt the town like they hurt him.
But the only person who kicked him out of town was Belle. And then he's sucking up to her in costume.
It's not like it was an unpopular decision, though.
Well, no, it wasn't. Like, I'd have kicked him out 2 years ago.
But I think the thing is, he wants to get that revenge against them, because, as we all know, the villains in the show are very much about revenge. I mean, that's very apparent in
that's all
Regina
it is.
And Maleficent's story.
That's all it is revenge.
This episode. But I think he's going to try and get his revenge while trying to get his happy ending at the same time. He's going to both ways.
Question.
Okay.
What the heck is Rumple's happy ending at this point? What does he want?
I don't know.
Exactly.
He really just wants to dance. Like, that's really all he's wanted out of this. But... you know, he had the limp going on, so it was hard because it was kind of Ricky Racky.
I still like that when he crossed the line and threw the cane because he suddenly could walk.
Healed.
Apparently, I do have issues this weekend, and I didn't realize it until now.
But another kind of cog in Rumple's plan in this episode, and sort of his activities in this episode, is the whole Hook diversion, which I thought was brilliant. I kind of felt like something was off with Captain Hook for a big chunk of the episode, specifically in Granny's diner when he comes and sits down with Will and Belle.
Yeah, that was weird.
Because I knew he had some kind of friction with Will last half season, but that was really more because he was going through the whole having his heart stolen, having to betray everyone he loves sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, he's still holding that grudge over, like, they got into that fist fight or whatever.
It seemed weird.
But, when Belle tried to call Rumple with the dagger, it became that's basically
that
when
obvious.
I knew. Like, as soon – because Hook was like, sorry, I had a short circuit there. But Hook said, well, why don't you call and have him face you? And then he just like turns to her as she's doing, you know, just very smarmy, very obvious.
Call me to you.
I was kind of wondering why is Rumple going after the dagger particularly now? And I'm assuming that, maybe he was assuming that they'd find out he was in town anyway, so he might as well get it while he had a chance.
Well, he had to use it to change the kid into not the kid.
Oh, that's true, too. I completely forgot about that.
I was about to say, minor plot point of the show if she weren't watching.
But I think he could have gone about getting the dagger a different way. I think the way he told Belle and convinced Belle, I think he did specifically so the heroes would know that he was back on the chessboard. Because I think I think with this whole war he has brewing, he's a man of strategy. He's a man of, you know, making everybody think they're winning until he wins in the end.
It's like Wizard's chess.
Yeah, so I think he was sort of telegraphing that to Belle that, yes, Rumple's back in town. You need to be worried about him just to kind of get the heroes prepared for it so he can have a decent little fight on his hands.
Interesting.
But, regardless, you know, if nothing else, him getting the dagger back, he has no master now, which will definitely help as he mounts his war.
Okay. I love Belle and Will. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. Except that we really haven't gotten to see them together because, okay, so from the stills that they released, I totally thought that was going to be at least, you know, a 4 or 5 minute scene.
Yeah, just like a nice little date scene.
Having some cake, mm-hmm. having a drink. Nope. Mm-hmm. The second we look at you, in comes Hook. I'm like, what?
We've really, at this point in this show, we've got more of Lacey's relationship with the Sheriff of Nottingham than we have with Belle and
yes,
Will.
Yes, we really have. So that drove me nuts. Mm-hmm. And darn you, fake Hook, for busting up their date. Not Nate. I don't know what that is. Maybe it was Knave and Date, whatever.
Knave date.
Where is real Hook? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if Rumple is running around being fake Hook.
Yeah.
For a significant amount of time on no less than 3 occasions.
Yeah.
3 occasions. 1, 2, 3. Where is real Hook?
I kind of assume that we saw real Hook at least once in the episode when? The Charmians and their pirate mascot.
Well, yeah.
Like, I assume that was real Hook just because I forget. I had a rationale in my head.
It completely made sense for that to be real Hook. But where is real Hook for the rest of the episode? Mm-hmm. Like, is him and the Charming softball team hanging out in the station? Also, where's the baby? I keep forgetting about the baby. Side note.
Well, isn't Granny the official babysitter now? The royal
babysitter?
Which
leads me to the why did she leave the Spice Girls of Evil alone in her diner? But I'll talk about later.
Well, we saw in Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, it's pretty easy to break into Granny's diner. Maybe the rabbit helped. The white rabbit.
Did Will actually leave the rose or was it Rumple? I think it was Rumple.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that too, because it was just outside when I got here.
Yeah.
It was a very
Rumple move because he wouldn't have asked about it if it wasn't.
Yeah, it just gave him a really good lead in to ask about Will to see what was going on.
Exactly.
With
And I believe I said this last week and I probably said it the week before. How does no one see Rumple when he is walking in the middle of town?
Invisibility cloak.
No, there is no invisibility
cloak.
Glamour
spell. No skin glitter. That's the answer.
Okay, but the thing is, like, he walks out the door, shuts it, is Hook. We look at Belle. We come back. He's Rumple. He's still standing in front of the window under a light. Where are the people of Storybrooke after 8 p.m.?
They can't see outside after 8 p.m.
Okay.
But before we move away from Belle and Will, though, I just want to say, I know last week, we were talking a little bit about, I bet Will's going to be in trouble now because Rumple's going to be like, oh, Will, why are you messing with Belle? Because that's my spot on Rumple impression.
Yeah, that's really Rumpley.
But I think after this episode, I really don't think Will has anything to worry about. I think Rumple's going to leave him alone because right now he's kind of – Rumple has his own stuff going on, for one. And that stuff, if he succeeds in it, if he succeeds in finding the author and getting his happy ending, I'm sure Belle's part of that. Will's not going to be in the picture anyway, so I don't think Rumple's going to waste a lot of time or energy accosting Will for – dating his girl or anything like that. Plus, you know, in the grand scheme, Will and Rumple never really had any sort of on-screen relationship that we've seen at all.
No, we have not shipped Will and Rumple.
Maybe if it was, I don't know, Grumpy or something, someone Rumple had a few run-ins with in Storybrooke or something. Maybe he might be a little bit more upset because, you know, then that's like, oh, I thought you were my
history.
Buddy, Grumpy. You know, all that kind of stuff.
My
name's Rumpelstiltskin. Go ahead.
Guys, I have no control over him tonight. I'm sorry. Okay, so Belle seems very trusting of Hook through all this. Mm-hmm. Like, that really confused me because, you know, they have their history. I know we've sort of gotten over it and all that. But still excessively trusting.
To give him the dagger,
him the
without
dagger.
Even checking with, like, the Charmians or Emma or anybody.
She
like,
didn't check with the Charmians.
Without checking with any of the other main cast members first to make sure it was cool.
You must check with all of the main cast before giving over the dagger. And that pirate.
See, she was shooting all those, like, cutaway scenes and like B-unit scenes last half season, so she forgot about the rules. You have to ask the main cast members.
But that pirate promise was awful at the end.
A pirate promise.
A pirate promise that we'd never tell anybody about this.
Any other stuff from the chat room here?
They're telling me to calm down.
I know, right? Like, she's a little bit like a little bit of a negative Nancy tonight. It'll all be okay.
But I didn't know I was this worked up until now. Like, I was putting in my notes earlier, and I'm like, la, 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 la.
No, don't worry, Anne-Marie. It'll all be fine. Don't worry. We'll get back to the main discussion in just a second. But first, we just wanted to mention to you guys real quick, if you guys don't know, we have a Patreon page now. Patreon.com/UniverseBox, which is sort of the big banner we're doing all of our podcasting under. And if what Patreon is, if you don't know, it's a way you can help support us while making independent content. Now, our Patreon supports the three weekly podcasts we do right now, which is this one, Greetings from Storybrooke. Legends of Gotham, which is about the Fox show Gotham, and Universe Box, which is about everything.
Everything.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of our independent story-based podcast. Story set to a theme, Universe Box. You probably got an episode of it in your feeds Sunday. Yeah, the Disney Renaissance episode we did. But basically, you go in and you make a monthly donation. Yes, it can be anywhere from 10 cents to a buck to $5 today.
$40.
$5 is the most popular level.
$5 is the most popular level. Apparently, people want you to – is that the doodle or is that the singing? I don't have it in front of me.
I think five's the singing where we'll sing any song you want and send you an MP3 of it badly. And
you know how we sing, people.
Then $10 is I'll draw you a horrible doodle of anything and send it to you. And there's also – we'll do personal letters. We'll make a podcast about anything you want, starring you as our guest, all sorts of stuff. Right now, we already have 14 patrons, and we're getting $122 a month, which, thank you. That's awesome. Like, that, we're officially
you
making...
You guys are awesome, seriously.
Yeah, we're officially already making more than we were making with the Audible sponsorship, so...
A lot more.
Bye, Audible.
Adios, Audible. Welcome, patrons.
No, but we have a milestone here. We're hoping to try and hit relatively soon because we want to get this content out to you and everything. It's patron exclusive movie commentaries. Now, what we'll do is every 2 weeks, you know how we've done the commentaries for Once Upon a Time episodes. We'll do a commentary for a movie, any movie you want. And actually, we're going to be doing a patron exclusive
hangout
this weekend, where I think part of the things on the to do list is to figure out what two movies.
All right, let me add to my to do list to make a to do list.
Yeah. But what two movies we'll be doing the patron exclusive movie commentaries for, and those will be exclusive to you guys who are supporting us on Patreon for the first 6 months, and then
it'll be its own little podcast,
its own little podcast and everything. But we need to hit $200 per month. We're getting pretty close.
We're there.
$78 away.
I think we can do it.
Yeah, definitely. And then actually, I'll just point out real quick, the $300 milestone level is instant reactions.
Oh, yes. Because we know people have asked us in the past for some instant reactions. So if you help us get up to that $300 level, we will be able to put those out because it really does take a little bit of effort.
Yeah. Well, that'll be the night the show airs. We'll upload an MP3 to Patreon with our instant reaction for the show for both Once Upon a Time and Legends of and Gotham.
I would just like to say that Hope wants you to sing Kesha or Taylor Swift, and I fully support both of those.
Well, that would be great because I don't have to make those MP3s. I already have them because that's what I do in my spare time anyway. But if you want to help support us making a great independent content, you can go to patreon.com/universebox. That's patreon.com/universebox. And we also have links on the greetings page, on the universebox.com page, all sorts of stuff.
All over
like
the
that.
Place.
And thank you guys already.
Thank you guys
so much for all your help and support with that too. Also, Amber, you want to tell them about this real quick? Just a little call for reviews.
Oh yes, we want reviews, please. You said just a little
more in depth.
A little more.
That,
okay, we would thoroughly enjoy if you would go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you seem to find your podcasting content, and leave us a review. Mm-hmm. We really like a rhyming review for entertainment purposes.
Like we do the rhyming episode summaries.
Absolutely, and we will read your reviews on air. They don't have to be 5-star; they can be 1-star. We're okay with that. Mm-hmm. We know we need to improve in some locations, such as my craziness, and my screeching and my guffawing.
Okay, and but definitely leave a review
did
on iTunes.
Did you have something other than that? You're really busting out Kesha.
Leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and we'll We will read it on the show. This is for Hope in the chat room. Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. Grab my glasses, I'm out the door, I'm gonna hit this city. Before I leave, I brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Because when I leave for the night, yo, I ain't coming back.
That's literally my favorite song, but catch it too.
Well, you're welcome. Let's go ahead. Okay, we need to get back into the
show.
Enough Kesha. K-Dollar Ha, as I like to call her. Maleficent's backstory. We got a big chunk of Maleficent's backstory, more so than just like tea with Regina. Like, we've got the past several episodes.
I'm dying.
So I thought it was interesting that it seemed like they found a way to merge the stories of both the Angelina Jolie Maleficent movie and the original Disney Sleeping Beauty. Because because in this episode, they imply that there was a romance with King Stefan. Stefan. And she was jealous over Briar Rose, who was the original Sleeping Beauty. That was Sleeping Beauty's code name in the Disney animated movie, Briar Rose. So this was a situation of Maleficent was a lover scorned, which is very much like the Angelina Jolie movie. Because she falls in love with King Stefan, and then he's going to get married, and she's like, rah! Exactly. And then we also have the Aurora story here, which she's the daughter of Briar Rose. And it's more like the traditional Disney story, what with the brambles growing up and Prince Philip having to come in and save the day and all that stuff. So I thought it was interesting how they managed to fit both stories into Maleficent's origin on this show. And I know they did it well.
I really liked everything of Maleficent, old Maleficent, especially the girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, definitely. I was just about to say, actually, that I really enjoyed Maleficent's retired
look. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, it's cool.
Note to self, read ahead.
No, it was funny. Like, I think that's probably my favorite look for the character so far, even more so than her old costume or the Angelina Jolie ripoff thing. You look like you have something you want to say.
Barbie Girl. All I have to say is I want them to sing Barbie Girl.
Barbie Girl.
Also, Hope says that is the most white boy thing I've ever heard, and I love you.
You haven't heard my white boy rap, Hope. Maybe someday. Maybe that'll be a patron exclusive.
Please, it's on YouTube.
Well, no, it's not.
White boy rap.
No, it's not.
That guy right there.
Okay. No, I also really like that Maleficent, retired Maleficent, was getting all hopped up on Sleeping Curse. She was like,
just a drop of Sleeping Curse.
Again, very much like the Angelina Jolie movie. She had that kind of heroin chic thing going on. A
little bit.
She was a heroin addict. She liked heroines like Briar Rose, Aurora, etc.
You couldn't resist, could you?
I couldn't. I absolutely couldn't.
You good now? Can I move on to something relevant?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. No, that was relevant. I know.
I'm a Barbie girl.
Oh, I can't compete with you in your craziness. So the author door picture that made me cranky because it's another door. So while Henry and his donuts are looking over the picture, at one point it looks like there is a name, which it looked like it could be either Goofy, which we all know who Goofy is, or it could be Duffy, the Disney bear,
which is a relatively new creation.
Yeah, it's from 2002. It's just basically it's a bear they made for the launch of Toy Story to help promote with that, but it's pretty popular now. And they use it for all sorts of marketing. Yeah,
show it on the stream here.
That guy, there's Duffy.
Hello, Duff.
He's so sweet.
Hello, Duffy.
But, like, I don't know if maybe they're trying to just at least use the name in some respect, because I know they like to – but they like to put those Easter eggs in for us. So I don't know if it's a real thing or if it's just the Easter egg.
I noticed those little characters on the door, too, that he saw first. Yeah. They almost looked like – and I know this isn't going to be it and this is completely wrong, but they reminded me of the little ghost from Super Mario Brothers. The Boo Brothers, I think they're called or something.
Yeah, the Boo Brothers.
But, yeah, they look like just like little ghosts.
Yeah, that's not going to be them.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we should have probably grabbed a screenshot from that.
Yeah, probably should have, but we didn't.
What are we going to do? Okay, so let's see here. Anything else?
Yeah, that's all I got about my door.
All right, so Regina.
Regina.
Regina, and this is nothing about Lana Perea or anything. Regina, the character, is a really bad actress. Mm-hmm. A horrible, horrible actress. Now you can... I mean, she's kind of playing both sides in this episode with the whole double agent thing. But you can tell, I, the audience member, can tell when she's lying to the other characters. Mm-hmm. And I actually caught a bit of that in the scene with Emma at the end. So when she left the phone and stuff, I wasn't too terribly surprised because I was like, yeah, Regina was acting just like she's been acting with the Spice Girls of Evil. And I think that's sort of a credit to Lana's performance, that she was able to portray that Regina wasn't very good at acting, you know, by kind of because she was doing the Evil Queen, but not she was doing she, like
there was enough of a
character.
There was just enough. And there was just enough hesitation in all of her things.
Yeah.
Also, sort of going along that, what were they really going to do when the train hit them?
One of the other magic users
the train was literally like here.
I'm sure Maleficent would have pulled them out at the last moment.
Okay, anyway.
No, but I mean, we've seen that trait in Regina's character, though, even back like in the Little Mermaid episode, because when she played the Ursula character in the Little Mermaid episode, it was very over the top like that, too. So I guess that's
horribly over the top.
Yeah, but I guess that's kind of just how Regina acts, if you can call it that.
If you can call it acting.
I also thought it was funny that Emma mentioned that her superpower was malfunctioning. No, Regina or Emma, your superpower isn't malfunctioning. You just suck at using your superpower, and everybody in your life is lying to you.
She hasn't been able to use that superpower in like 2 years.
Yeah, the
she
only
keeps
time
she can. But
the only time it ever comes up really is when it's faulty.
Oh yeah.
Well, like, I mean, she has tried to use it as a kind of bargaining chip in a.
She's done couple. Like one of these types of things.
Like, don't lie to me. I have my superpower.
I have a superpower. Person, don't lie to me.
Character proceeds to lie to her. She doesn't.
And she doesn't have any clue.
She doesn't pick it up.
She's like, hey, let's go get pie. Okay. How, where, what the heck? How did Cora have Maleficent's spell book? Because, like, Regina had it because she said, hey, I found these in my mom's things. And I'm sure, and obviously by this point, we've shoved Cora through the glass.
Yeah.
And she's off in Wonderland. Really? But, like, Rumple and Maleficent, neither of them seemed fazed that Regina had her spell book. Well, she had it the entire time, like.
I have a feeling since we have gotten word that Barbara Hershey will be back this
we'll
half
get that
season.
Story.
Yeah, that we'll probably get like Maleficent and her initial adventure,
how
their
old
friendship
is
or something. 73.
She looks young and
exactly.
sprightly. 73?
No, actually, you got to imagine she was probably a young woman when the whole thing went down with Stefan and Briar Rose and everything like that. So yeah, she's probably. You know, well, I mean, she's a magic user, so they age more gracefully because magic.
She, do you think that she is immortal? Like Rumple? Because she doesn't look, I mean, she doesn't look old.
Well, I in most magical systems and stories and everything, once you get to be good at magic, yeah. then you're pretty much immortal because you can pretty much keep your thing better.
They're good.
Oh, they're good. Okay.
Yeah, it was. I guess there was a.
Yeah, sorry, we had a little glitch on the video, but it's all fixed
sorry.
Now. Yeah, but I think magic users can basically become immortal if they want to. That's what I've always read, anyway.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Okay, so you know, I was talking earlier that we're going to come back to the whole him transforming August, yeah. Rumple transforming August when he hasn't the past couple seasons, and why, right?
Right.
Okay. The possibility of Rumpelstiltskin is what I called this point. Now, in each episode so far, except for maybe the first one in this half season, Rumpel's been doing something that we thought the audience found impossible beforehand. Like, because, you know, we've had a lot of hypothetical situations, like our once-if specials on
yes.
the hiatus, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be talking out points and we'd be like, get up to a certain point. No, that can't happen because August can't get turned back into August.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we said that a few times.
Oh, that can't happen because Maleficent's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And in just these past two episodes, Rumple brought Maleficent back to life, and then he turned Pinocchio back to August. So I'm wondering, is he more powerful than he ever has been before? Or has he decided that he doesn't need to worry about magic's price anymore, dearie? If it's option number two, then it represents a fundamental shift in the character's moral compass. Rumple has always, you know, cowardice, self-interest, and respect for the way things are done. You know, magic always comes with a price, dearie. That whole thing. And, you know, the rules of magic. He's always had a great deal of respect for the rules of magic as the Dark One, which I guess, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, all that sort of thing.
Here we go.
but what happens now that he does I'm assuming that he's not more powerful than he was before, that he's doing this just because he doesn't care anymore. He figures it'll all...
He's lost everything, so...
Well, I think he also figures it'll all come out in the wash once he finds the author anywhere. So who cares if he's breaking the rules of magic.
I want to know where he'll go back to. How does he get his happy ending?
But I'm kind of wondering what that kind of Rumple will look like, especially considering this whole war he's mounting, of Rumple who doesn't care about the rules of magic, backed into a corner by very powerful opponents. Like, that could be pretty scary. I would almost really like to see just like a knuckled dragging, like throwdown kind of fight with Rumple putting his all into it, doesn't care if anybody lives or dies, including himself. Like, that would be like a super, super villain battle in Downtown Storybrooke, Rumple versus everybody. I'd love to see that.
Battle Storybrooke.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well, everybody knows their roles. They're like, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this. Let's go. We'll be like, we got this down to a science.
The Storybrooke Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
You have not read the books. You can.
Sorry.
Okay. Cruella and Ursula. Yes, I'm going back to this.
That's fair.
They're boring me. They're pointless. They're filler characters. They need something to do.
Yeah, it's
you
like...
You disagree, don't you?
No, not at all. We have both... The past two episodes have been very Maleficent-centric.
They've been very Maleficent-centric, but even the first one that was very Cruella and Ursula-centric was boring with respect to them. Now, especially when you look back, you're like, they're just like the background singers, and they don't even have good quips most of the time. Like, you know, the whatever in Gin and Regret or whatever. That's funny, but you can only have so many of those quotes.
Yeah.
It's a little boring.
Well, and I mean, we'll be covering this a little in the news section, too, so we'll probably get back to it. But I have a feeling next week we're going to get some more action from these characters too.
But does that even mean it's going to be worthwhile?
Yeah.
Just because they're going to get episodes, we know we're getting one for each of them. Mm. Does that mean it's going to be any good? Because they haven't been doing anything now. Yeah. What is their point? What is their happy ending? What are they trying to get? What are they trying to achieve?
You're so angry tonight.
I'm really hyped up. I'm sorry.
Help. No, but I really enjoyed, if nothing else, I really enjoyed the sort of like girls wild night out sort of dynamic that they had
running
around
in
the car. Yeah, like that whole situation was infinitely fun to me, especially them finding Regina on over in the woods with the broken down cop car in the morning.
That was funny. Okay, yes, that's fun, but they were really built up to be something bigger than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really over us building people up to be bigger than they are.
Yeah.
Why did Granny leave the Spice Girls of Evil unattended in her store or her restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
That's dumb. Regina let them into the crypt? That's really dumb.
Yeah, because that's where she keeps all of Cora's
Yes, yeah. There's all of Cora's craziness. There's all the hearts that she hasn't given back yet.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how did Maleficent know about aspirin? She's never lived in the real world.
Run that by me one more time.
Maleficent. She hands her some aspirin. She has never lived in the real world.
Oh, yeah, that's something else that kind of that bothered me a little bit. Was
oh, no,
just
it completely
Mal, as Mal. They called her in the episode, she adapted very quickly to the modern world, considering she'd been stuck under the library the entire curse, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. Okay, let's see here. Arbitrary.
Can we talk press promo pics released today? Didn't see them.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they would get those to us. But okay, let's see here. Arbitrary scale.
Arbitrary scale.
Okay, out of 19 broken truth juice bottles, how many broken truth juice bottles do you give this episode? 19.
15?
Why?
Broken juice.
Truth juice.
Truth juice.
Did Regina broke in the first scene of the
thing? That wasn't truth juice. That was vodka or gin.
Well, truth juice.
Okay, I like that a lot happened. I like that a lot progressed, but I'm not quite convinced. I don't know. Again, I'm ramped up, and I don't know why. I didn't realize I was even so ramped up, so I started talking about it.
Yeah, that
so
was weird, because I know when we were like watching the episode and everything, you seemed like you were fine with it.
I was pretty fine. I was pretty sleepy. But the second time, I was really into it, and I'm like, okay. And now, as we're sitting here talking about it, it's just getting me like,
yeah.
Like, I'm getting a little fired up, which is weird. So that's why I'm only giving it 15, because it made me ramp up, and I don't like ramping up right now.
Will you give it a provisional 16th, assuming something weird's going on with you and you didn't actually dislike the episode that much?
No, okay. I won't.
That's fine. Okay, as for me, I'm going to give it a 17, I think, because I really enjoyed it overall. I really enjoyed, well, obviously, everything to do with Rumpelstiltskin in this episode. I think they're doing some really interesting stuff with him. And I even really, really dug Maleficent this episode, which is something that I've always liked. liked her well enough. I haven't really loved her before this episode. This episode, I really found a love for, especially that retired look with the hair and the sleeping juice potion.
Stuff. Nice.
Any arbitrary scales from the chat room?
I didn't even put it in there because I'm trying to find these promotion pictures. Yeah, sorry. Go to... Oh, good grief.
Okay, let's see here. Nothing from the chat room. But what we're going to do, since we don't have the Audible ad here anymore, I'm going to go ahead and play for you guys just a couple minutes, not the whole thing. In early promotion or promotional cartoon I did for a Mexican band called Pinocchio.
So
relevant. And then we'll be back to talk news and letters and stuff like that. So now, on to the news. News. First up, the ratings. Once Upon a Time got 5.8 million viewers and a 1.8 share, slipping 13 and 14% respectively, landing just above the series low of 5.7 million that was set last year
by
the winter finale. Sadly, so hopefully we can get some better numbers than that. Again, sorry to the people on our live stream that we went away.
Sorry, guys.
But let's see here. And next up, we're going to watch the promo for next week, which, because of our Patreons at patreon.com/universebox, we can now actually play on the live stream here. So let's go. Let's go ahead and watch the promo for next week's Poor Unfortunate Soul.
Please.
Yeah, and it looks like they're doubting Regina a little
Don't
bit.
Don't doubt Regina. Come on,
August
y'all.
Got a haircut.
Well, he had to. Why was it all ripped up?
Did she rip it up?
I don't think she ripped it up.
I don't know. And now she's making out with Robin Hood.
Yeah,
how'd
I
he
know
get
about
there?
That.
Did she call him? Have him meet at
the tentacles.
Line? Yes. So. Tentacles of death.
Tentacles of death.
Have a nice swim, Captain.
And we also see Ursula there on the Jolly Roger. Right.
Like, I knew we were going to get that. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
What's that?
Oh, the promo pics.
Oh, you found the promo pics?
Well, I was trying to open them when we had thing go down.
Well, here, go ahead and put them down in the bottom there, and we'll deal with them in just one moment. Yeah, but if you want to, by the way, the links to all of these are in the show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com for this episode number 115.
I'm lost. Yes. I'm down.
Number 115. Are we down again?
I am.
Oh, you're down? I think I'm still alive, so we'll go ahead and keep going, and we'll have the audio recording either way. Okay, next up, just a little bit of news here. If you guys didn't know, they're doing a live-action adaptation of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say sorry to our live video watchers. We ended up losing internet completely, so we're just going to finish up an audio here. But yes, live-action Beauty and the Beast, a lot of casting news and dates and stuff were announced recently. Emma Watson's going to be Beauty. Dan Stevens, who I'm not familiar with, is
Downton Abbey!
Oh, he's from Downton Abbey.
He's the guy who asked to be killed off in the car wreck. I know none of this means anything to you.
But he'll be playing the Beast / the Prince, whatever his name is. And Luke Evans will be playing the role of Gaston. And I believe Josh Gad is going to be playing LeFou, Gaston's short little assistant guy. And let's see, also Alan Menken, who did all the music for Beauty and the Beast, is coming back to score this live action.
Oh, that'd be awesome, because those were beautiful songs.
I'm assuming they won't be doing the songs from the movie then, right? Probably not.
I'm sure they'll have some. They have have to have some of them.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. I knew they had announced who Lumiere and Cogsworth were going to be too.
Oh,
but I don't
isn't,
think that's in that episode. Oh, no. Yeah, but it looks interesting. And you said there was a date on here too for when they were
March 17th, 2017.
Can't come soon enough.
Because I have that one memorized already.
But yeah, live action Beauty and the Beast. It's going to be a lot of fun. Speaking of long things like movies, for example, according to Adam Horowitz, he tweeted out this week that the season finale of Once Upon a Time is going to be two hours long.
Isn't that becoming a tradition, though? Like, we had a two-hour one last year, and I think most of our mid-seasons have been 2 hours.
Yeah, they seem to just be throwing a bunch of, like, extra episodes Once Upon a Time's way. I wonder if they're trying to just, like, get them up to syndication soon. Actually, you know what? If you counted Wonderland in with it...
Which I bet they are. Yeah. Then they're up to syndication.
Yeah, they're probably up to syndication. Maybe that's why they're doing... They've done the couple extra double episodes.
The double episodes. And do you think that they're counting all the specials towards the syndication? Because they have had a special every half season. Or the past 2 to 3 years, they've had them every half season. So there's that.
Well, they are pretty popular too. But yeah, 2 hour season finale. It'll be a lot of fun.
That'd be fun.
And this is just a little one. I just wanted to mention real quick.
Slightly relevant.
Yeah, Disney announced the Frozen sequel.
Raise your hand if you didn't know that was coming. You really didn't think they were going to do it?
No, I knew it was coming. Okay. I just wanted to be with someone who raising my hand. Sequel to Frozen. I don't know if they have any plans about whether they're going to tie it into the Once Upon a Time stuff at all.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Frozen 2, the little short.
The short that's in front of Cinderella?
Yeah, the Frozen Fever, whatever. I don't know if that ties
Frozen
in or not.
Frozen Fever!
I think they kind of wrote the Once Upon a Time sections in such a way to where they could acknowledge it or not. But it would be cool if nothing else just to see like maybe Snow White and Prince Charming in the background of some scene.
I think if anything, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Because it can't be exactly the same universe, even though they made it pretty close. Mm-hmm. Mostly because Rapunzel is in Frozen.
Very true. Very true. Okay, so now we're going to move on to some listener feedback here. As always, when you get done watching the show next Sunday night, Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Go
ahead and jump off your couch, run down the hallway, grow tentacles out of your abdomen, use them to type on the computer, email us greetingsfromstorybrook@gmail.com, tweet us at GFStorybrook. The Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrook, and the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And we always love voicemails. We actually got a ton of them this week. So much
it was
so
kind of crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we actually included any real letters. But we did have a couple. Do you have any – do you have the doc up at all?
I do.
Okay, we have some quick bits here of some of the letters that we weren't able to fit in. We put them on a blog post over at greetingsfromstorybrook.com. You can see it right up there on the front page. But a few people wrote in. First of all, Lizzie wanted to nitpick about the train passing through Storybrooke. When I saw that, I was like, hey, we finally know how they get their food. Trains are allowed in.
Ash is confused because she thought Belle was the smart one. Belle is whatever the writers wish her to be.
Fee is anti-Will and Belle, but only because she's so pro-Anastasia. Us too.
Yeah, kind of. Rachel thinks Jennifer Morrison seemed a little embarrassed by some of her lines. And I can totally see that.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay, now first up for the voicemails, we have Bobby. Take it away, Bobby.
I know this was technically Maleficent's episode, but for me, it was Regina that stole the show. Lana Parry is just such a great actress. To have her play so many different facets of the same character in a single episode, evil, not evil, pretending to be evil, maybe only pretending to pretend to be evil, and then of course the flashbacks where she even, I don't know what exactly it is she does, but she changes something up just enough to make it seem a little younger. She does an awesome job. It really showcases her talents, and she should be nominated for an Emmy for this episode alone. Her interactions with Maleficent were great, particularly the scene with where they first met, and Maleficent is taking the edge off with a concoction of sleeping potion, seawater, and toadstool. Don't care for the other queens of evil as much, particularly Ursula. I really don't care about Ursula.
Bobby, I think Anne-Marie agrees with you. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
though.
A bit.
With Cruella, you wonder why is she magical in this version? Where did she come from originally? What brought her to Misthaven? But Ursula, it's just like, who cares? And then, of course, with Maleficent, they're really building her backstory as to, like, what exactly or did Briar Rose do to make her lose her loved one and make her hate Briar Rose? what happened to make her lose her dragon fire, and then who did she hook up with to become Prego, and what exactly yes. did Snow White and Charming do to make her lose that child?
Calling it now Rumple's baby.
Oh, no.
And then, of course, there was the business with Hook and Bell. As soon as Hook started asking about the dagger, I knew something was up. And upon second viewing, I thought it was really cool when Belle summoned the, or actually said, asked the Dark One to face her. Hook was looking away and faced her when she said that. So I thought that was a nice touch. Mm. So yeah, I really liked this episode. But what was with that scene on the train tracks? It's almost like the witch being put in water. Oh, if you save us, then we'll know you're not evil. Yeah, but if I don't save us, then we're all going to be dead. Can't really think of an arbitrary scale. Just really love this episode. Can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Thank you very much, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, I kind of got the impression that that was just a situation where Maleficent was going to pull them out at the last second if need be. So
I'm still not sure what's going on there, right. Personally.
Next up is Dave from Michigan. Take it away, Dave.
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie. This is Dave from Michigan.
Hey, Dave.
Long-time listener, very infrequent caller.
Dave, stop.
Stop, Dave.
No, I just wanted to say, sorry, Dave. I know you had contacted us back in December, too, about us potentially doing a Doctor Who special. We never got around to it.
Oh, obviously we failed with that. So, sorry.
But go ahead, Dave.
The reason I'm calling is because I had a theory about Hook and Ursula. Spoiler alert, if you want to call it that. In an interview, Adam and Eddie said, what's worse than having your heart broken? Having your soul crushed. Hmm. That's all they said. I think what the story's going to be, and I want to hear your opinion, is that Hook did something to convince Ursula to do something that basically would kill her father or something like that. She did something for Hook. She chose Hook, and then he turned his back on her after she did something that she never would have done otherwise.
Interesting.
Since we know that her father's going to be in the episode from casting. So that's my theory, and what you guys were thinking.
Yeah, that's kind of like a riff on the Little Mermaid story a little bit, right? Kind of like the disapproving father. Ursula just wants to be part of Hook's world, and
it's not happening.
Poseidon is a Captain Swan shipper, so he's not having any of it. I like that idea.
Poseidon's a Captain Swan shipper. I don't know about that. I was able to look at those promo pictures before. It's pretty interesting. It actually looks like Hook knew what's her face, Ursula, before she was Ursula.
Interesting.
And she looks a lot like Tiana. Mm. For those of you familiar with The Princess and the Frog.
Okay, that could be cool. Kind of tie those all together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
So that would really bring it all sorts of
craziness. There be like a New Orleans world then in the hat or something? I can't remember any of the songs off the top of my head.
Neither can I.
Next up is Tim. Take it away, Tim.
Hi, it's Tim again. I've tried to come up with another rhyme. We'll see how good this one is. Regina is tired, so Rumple has sent her to be with her new gal pal, Maleficent. Regina gets Mal some new dragon fire to curse Aurora is their new desire. In storybook, Regina gets in with the queen, but is she pretending or is she still mean? The queens give Regina a couple of tasks, including kidnapping Pinocchio, the best. Rumple is Hook, and August might be Bragging in this week's episode. Enter the dragon.
Very nice entry, Tim. Very nice. Definitely. Let's see here. Next up is Lady J. Take it away, Lady J.
Mirror on the wall, who has the queeriest tale of all? Is it the past angst dragon queen with Regina crushing a Maleficent? Is it Swan Queen with Emma constantly checking in on her wife, even putting GPS on her phone just to make sure her wife is safe? Or was it the, bringing the whole charming soft?
Emma's a little possessive.
A little bit.
Team and the pirate mascot as well. Or how about Sea Devil, Cruella, and Ursula, doing their thing on the side quietly? And will the real Belle French please stand up? Seriously, what's going on here, Belle? So confused. Oh, and let's see. Briar Rose is Aurora's mother. Briar Rose does Maleficent's heart. I'm sorry. My gator is currently going off the charts here. I'll be back with you guys soon. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you very much, Lady J.
Nice.
Very much appreciated. Okay, let's keep it rolling.
Keep
with
it
Wu.
Going. Keep it going.
I love the fact that Regina and Maleficent's history goes way back, even before the original curse was created. And I love the irony that Maleficent is the one that teaches Regina to do a sleeping curse in the first place. I love the shades of gray that is going on in this series. The heroes are going to do bad things and villains are going to do good things. And I love the two acting performances that I thought were stellar in this episode. One from Colin O'Donoghue. I really didn't catch on that he was playing that dirty lying crocodile, Mr. Gold. And I love how he played Killian, but you could still see some Mr. Gold in there. And I love Jennifer Morrison's performance throughout this entire episode, because she generally plays dumb and confused very well. And it's very rare in a series that the main character of a series doesn't know what's going on and doesn't realize what's going on from either side, from any side, really. And if not for her stellar acting performance, most people would just, like, laugh at this whole concept. But the way she plays, like, generally confused, that's very convincing. I give this episode 7 white sleeping horses out of 7. Talk to you later. Hater makes an AMD. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Wu. Okay, next up is Other Anne Marie. And I don't mind me. I'm apologizing to people commenting on the video, being like, why is there no video?
But no.
Take it away, Other Anne Marie.
Hi, Bill and Anne Marie. This is Other Anne Marie. Let's get right to it. My thoughts for the latest episode of Once Upon a Time. I love when Lana plays Evil Queen Regina. She does it really well. And just her facial expressions and her voice and everything. I do hope that she won't fall into a deep pit that she can't get out. You can see her struggling throughout the episode that she does want to be good, but when she plays evil, she's just amazing. Love Maleficent's backstory. It explains her updated headdress, I guess. And I don't know if you guys remember in season 1, but Regina said to Maleficent that she was her only friend, and it makes so much sense now with this story.
Yeah, they're like besties.
I love that, by the way.
Like, I always thought that they were like professional associates, but that kind of played at being friends, but yeah. No,
they really get along.
Maleficent really owes Regina something.
Yeah, kind of, quite a bit.
I also love the change in Regina's voice in the end from innocent to evil queen when she was talking to Rumpel as she was petting the horse. You could just hear the change in her voice. It was just amazing. And I guess, last but not least, August is back. I guess a few fans will be really happy to see him back. I'm happy to see him back, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen after this. Out of 10 weird Hook and Bell moments, I will give it 6. It's a good episode, but it wasn't great. Okay, can't wait to hear you guys talk about the show. Thanks.
Thank you, Other Anne Marie. Always a pleasure to hear
Love
from
it.
You. Next up is Hope. Take it away.
Hope. Hey, you guys, it's Hope. I'm going to do a like and a butt because I like butts. So I love the return of August. Wow. I've been waiting for him. I wanted him back. Though, I guessed 15 minutes in that he was coming back. This was a really predictable episode. I guessed every major plot point before it was happened. They shouldn't have pushed in the last week in once part so strongly about August, because I wouldn't have guessed it if not for that. I like Will Scarlet, and I like the Scarlet Beauty date, though, what are they doing with Will Scarlet? I was watching Once Wonderland last night, and they're wasting his character. I'm happy he's there, but he said more in a 3-minute YouTube clip from Once Wonderland than he has said all season long. I love Aurora came back. I've wanted her back. But is that it? We've waited 2 seasons to get, like, the Aurora and Maleficent backstory, and they met for 30 seconds. Is that really it?
What's up, Aurora? What's up, Maleficent? Dead.
Sleeping.
This wasn't a great episode for me. I guessed Hook was Rumpel right away in the Scarlet Beauty scene. The Regina and the Maleficent backstory was really boring. Like, we didn't learn anything, and it didn't progress the story at all. And are we supposed to be rooting for Rumpel? This is like the 10,052nd time he's tricked Belle, and it's just, it's abuse. I don't know if we're supposed to be rooting for Rumpel. Anyway, I gave Enter the Dragon 6 out of 10 chocolate cakes that probably have raisins in it, because raisins was something that Will feared. Bye, guys.
Wow. I think she's got the energy I have tonight.
Yeah, but it was a little predictable here and there. Like I said, I called the hook thing like way
That was easy to call. And we already knew that August was coming back during the season, or Ian Daly was coming back. Right. We just all assumed it was in flashbacks. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they sort of left it open.
Yeah, actually, I believe the official at once ABC Twitter account spoiled me on that last night. I was I glanced at Twitter before we were watching. I was like, oh, hi, August. Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah.
Okay, next up. Oh, we already heard from Dave from Michigan again.
Did Dave from Michigan have something else to say?
I guess. Dave?
Dave?
Dave, are you there?
Dave?
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie. This is Dave from Michigan again. After I hung up, I thought about something, it's been bugging me since the beginning of this season when they started talking about finding the author. In the pilot episode, I think, either the pilot or one of the first episodes of the first season, Emma reads the storybook, and then she tears out the last pages and burns them. We still don't know what was on those last pages, and it hasn't been mentioned since. It didn't really matter, in my opinion, until this season, when we started to worry about the author and what the story was and why it matters. And now, I want to know why it hasn't come up, either with Henry or Emma, that the pages that she tore out, what they said and why they would be important. So that's just a question I had, and I wanted to know if you guys had any opinion, or if I'm just totally missing something that's happened in the last 4 years that explained it away. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Dave.
I'm trying to look it up.
Now, who was it who tore the pages?
Emma.
It was Emma.
Which makes it even more crazy.
So was it I'm trying to recall, was it a situation where she was like, saw this and she was like, Henry can't see this, so I'm
going to guess. I don't remember the scene.
Yeah.
Dave from Michigan, could you let me know what episode that is so we can go back and watch it?
I know we did see some torn pages and stuff from the preview for next week. Maybe that'll come back around then or something. In which case, good call, Dave from Michigan. Well, here, keep looking at it, and we'll finish up here with a voicemail from Patty. Take it away, Patty.
I know I left a message earlier, so I'm hoping
we'll go ahead and skip ahead a little bit here.
I thought that this tree being compared to the burning bush from the Bible bit of confusion over the burning tree being compared to the burning bush from the Bible. And I hate to break it to you, but that's not really a great comparison. Yeah, the burning tree was pretty interesting, but it doesn't compare to the burning bush, which had the voice of God talking to Moses. The burning bush is a different level of coolness where when you see a deer standing in front of God, it has a different feeling towards it. The tree is, the burning tree from the episode is pretty weak compared to Red Hill. I could even say Maleficent's pretty weak compared to that, where God's telling Moses, go back to the Egypt and free the Israelites. And it seems pretty weird that some people are making that comparison.
Well, Patty, I'll go ahead and stop you there. I think that some people were making that comparison. And actually, when I saw the little title card and saw the burning tree, I was like, oh, it's the burning bush. Because last week they had the tree from last week was very similar to the tree of life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, all that. A little rusty on that. But you know what? The tree from the Garden of Eden. Yes. And so I think naturally when you have a tree that hones that close to that story, that when you see a burning plant in the opening title card of the next episode, you're like, oh, it's a burning bush. But regardless, magical trees featured in both.
I found the burning pages thing.
Okay.
God, love Wikipedia. Okay. So it's going about... It was season one. Regina later reads through the book and notices the torn out pages, questioning Henry about it. In an effort to bond with Henry, Emma decides that the two must burn the missing pages of the book so that Regina does not see them. That's all I know.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Oh, because amidst driving Henry back to Sturbrook, Henry tells Emma his beliefs in the book and that she is in it herself.
Interesting.
Sorry. I had to see what that was.
Still no additional info on what was on those pages, sadly. But go ahead and finish up, Patty.
Obviously not the case where I can look at it and say no. And mind you, it's great that you're thinking about the Bible, but not you per se, obviously, but other people, some fans, but no, it's not the Bible. So I just wanted to say that. The episode was okay. It wasn't the best, but I did like seeing Maleficent more, especially high drunk Maleficent. That was pretty cool. So I can't wait to hear your opinions. Bye.
Thank you very much, Patty. And, yeah, actually, like, I was thinking about this earlier today when I was cutting the lawn. I was like, I wonder if they would Would they make a door in the hat, the Bible? No, probably not. Although that would be interesting. I think I'd be interested in that because, I mean, you know, regardless of your opinions on, you know, Christianity or anything that, there's a lot of really interesting stories.
There's
in the
a
Bible.
Lot of stories. So, we like stories.
We shall see. Okay. Well, when you're done watching the story next week, Poor Unfortunate Souls, I need you to stand up off your couch.
Stand up.
Run down the hallway. Turn into a dragon. Breathe fire at your computer and somehow melt the keys in such a way as to send us an email, greetingsfromstorybrook@gmail.com. Tweet us at GF Storybrook. Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrook. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Now, Anne-Marie, where can people find you online?
You can find me on the Twitters at AMDSimone. I also write a bunch of recipes and crafty things over at crunchycrafty.com.
And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Meeksa. You can find the other podcast we do, Legends of Gotham at legendsofgotham.com. That's about Gotham. Surprise.
Gotham, in case you want to
know. And a Universe Box, which is about everything, and you should definitely check out because you will enjoy it.
You will.
At universebox.com. And also the books I write, dogboyadventures.com.
True story.
Okay, so I guess that's about – oh, yeah, and support us, patreon.com/universebox.
You know, so that maybe our internet doesn't go out again.
And Google us at google.com. No, but again, sorry to the live streamers, the chatter tonight. The second half of the show with the news and the feedback and everything felt so dead because we didn't
have
those chatters with us.
I was trying to like it on Twitter, and it's not the same.
Yeah, but we hope you guys can join us with consistent connection next week, Monday, 8:30 p.m. EST.
Support the Patreon.
At youtube.universebox.com. So until next time,
greetings from Storybrooke. Hey, we got it this week.
We did somehow. Woo-hoo! I don't know. But
hey, we
couldn't
internet.
Get the internet.
We can't get the internet consistently.